Well, good morning. Happy Sabbath to each of you. I hope that you're all beginning to enjoy the new year. And I like it as we approach New Year's, that we get an opportunity to maybe clear up some things and say, you know, I'm going to try something different this year. And always, I like it challenges us a little bit, and I think it's okay. You know, as we begin New Year's, we have to reconsider also, too, our dedication to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, really, that's a daily matter, and the year shouldn't matter in that. But I know that folks, sometimes they will consider, you know, the Lord and say, well, this year I'm going to give a little more to the Lord. I'm going to do this. But, you know, why can't we enter into a covenant with the Lord today? Why can't we enter into a covenant with Him on a daily basis of surrender and commitment and keeping our lives, you know, dedicated to Him? That's the Christian responsibility, isn't it? And I'd hope that each of you have made those decisions and dedications in your own heart and your lives as you approach this next year. What I like to look at is each year that goes by is one day closer to soon return. Amen? Boy, what a day that will be when we see the glory of heaven, glory of God come with all His holy angels. What a day that will be to see Jesus with all His holy angels. So that's my thinking for this year, is that Jesus, come soon. Come soon. And maybe that'll be your prayer with me as well. Well, we just read Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 through 27. I do have to admit that this was upon the request from my daughter Megan. She asked that I share a message about the fish, the fish with the coin in its mouth. And sometimes when I run out of ideas of what I should preach about this week or next week, what's pertinent for us as a church, And I don't know, maybe the Holy Spirit leads in our children, so why not ask our kids and see what they have in mind? So thank you, Megan. You have to thank Megan today, and thank her for her insight of this part of Scripture today. As you well know, Jesus was on a journey, and with His disciples traveling from one place to the next, sharing the good news of salvation that was found in Him, of all who would accept Him, they would too receive eternal life. You know, isn't that the Christian hope? I mean, the name Christian is that we trust in the divine power and the merits of Jesus Christ for our salvation. And Jesus was going on His journey, heading towards the cross. And He was pointing to the disciples all along the way that He would die and that He would be raised again, sharing this message all across the board. You know, that He come to save sinners, to set those that were captive, setting them free, and giving them victory over the temptations of this world and giving them victory in their personal lives, giving them healing and so forth. It wasn't long before this, in fact, the same trip that you can read in Luke and John, that the disciples were also arguing amongst themselves who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I mean, talk about a prideful experience for the disciples. Here they walked with Jesus and they saw His willingness to give and to sacrifice all. And yet here they were arguing, bickering amongst themselves of who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, you're all familiar with this story, but this story that comes next is in the same event. The same event is as when the disciples were bickering among themselves who would be the greatest. As Jesus is approaching Capernaum, they that received money came to Peter and said, "Does not your master pay tribute?" Now, of course, wouldn't the devil pick Peter out of all people? Why do you think the devil picked Peter? He knew that Peter was, quick to respond, quick to act, quick to say something, quick to put his foot in his mouth, if you will. And so the leaders come up to Jesus, the ones who collect, or come up to Peter, those who collected money, and it says, doesn't your master pay tribute? In other words, doesn't your master pay the temple tax? Doesn't your master give to the temple tax, or give to the temple? And I like the word that's used in the Greek here in the "your," because the implication here is not just Jesus, but the finger is pointed by the one collecting the tax, pointing to Jesus and Peter and the rest of the disciples. Don't they all pay taxes to the temple? What's so significant about a person paying taxes to the temple? Well, the paying taxes to the temple was not an obligation. In other words, it wasn't a requirement, but more of a religious duty, a religious responsibility in saying that it's just like when we give our tithes. A tithe is a responsibility as a Christian. And we should and we have to pay our tithes. But this respect was that we look to the temple as a means to give hope to the world. In other words, we trust in the temple. And so when those who collected the temple tax came up to Peter and they said, "Don't you and your master give to the temple?" In other words, don't you put your hope, don't you put your faith, don't you see the requirement and the necessity of the temple that God has erected? And well, of course, Peter responds quite anxiously without really considering. Actually, if you think about this, there was a plot once again to put Jesus into a sticky situation. Because this once a year they collected this tax or they collected this money as a religious responsibility and duty of saying that the temple is valid, the temple is worthy, the temple is, you know, it's just and it's a need for salvation and so forth. If Jesus did not give to the money to the temple, then he was saying that the temple wasn't of really any value. But here is another problem, because the Bible tells us that others were excluded from paying temple tax, such as teachers, prophets, Levites, and so forth, priests, and etc. They weren't required to pay the temple tax. They were excluded from it. Why? Because they were prophets, because they were teachers, because they were priests of the temple. So, if Jesus did pay the temple tax, then he was saying to those around him that he really wasn't the prophet. He really wasn't the high priest. He really wasn't the great teacher. But if he didn't pay, then of course he was saying that the temple was of no value. So here again, Peter, not knowing the full intention of their question, says, "Of course my master pays tribute. Of course he does." Now, read with me, if you will, in verse 25. "And he said, when he was come into the house..." Now, this is Jesus talking. This is Peter coming back now to the house where Jesus was. Just after he finishes his conversation here, Jesus approaches Peter with this. Peter doesn't even open his mouth and tell him what happened. Jesus already knew what was taking place. And he goes and he says... after Peter proclaims yes, "And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying..." In other words, Jesus stepped in the way and stopped Peter in his tracks. And he says, "Peter," or "Simon, whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of what? Or of strangers?" Well, Peter's response obviously is, "Well, Lord, he takes of strangers." Jesus said, "Then the children are free." Let me ask you something. Who is the author of the temple, of the sanctuary? Who is the author of it? God is, right? In the Bible, throughout the New Testament, Jesus is referred to who? The Son of God. Jesus was not required to pay this temple tax. Jesus was not required. In other words, he was free to pass through the cities, to pass through the temple, to go even to the most holy place with liberty, because he was and is the Son of God. He wasn't required to pay anything. In other words, he is free because he is the Son of God. What was his proclamation as he was teaching and preaching and sharing to the Gentiles and to the Samaritans and the Jews all about? That he was and is the Son of God. So for him to pay this temple tax would say that he is not. This is not a requirement, but a religious duty, a religious responsibility. Peter is now rebuked by our Lord, and he said, "Then are the children free." Verse 27, he says, "Notwithstanding," I like this, "lest we should offend them." Jesus does something most fascinating here that I like in Scripture, that Jesus does whatever it takes, whatever he can do, to withdraw himself from offense. This wasn't a requirement. In other words, he didn't have to. He didn't need to. He could if he wanted to, but it wasn't a requirement. And so Jesus, to step back out of having causing any offense towards him or his ministry or his disciples, he tells Peter this. He says, Peter, so that we don't offend them, go to the sea and cast in a what? Cast in a what? Cast in a hook and take up the fish that first comes up. Now, I like this because I like to go fishing. Talk about a guarantee here that Peter is going to catch a fish. He tells Peter, go cast your hook into the sea, and when you pull it up, there's going to be a fish on the end. Now, I have a group of friends that we like to go fishing with each year up there at Pulaski for that salmon fishing. And I do pray. I say, Lord, if it's your will today, let us catch some fish. You know how exciting it is to catch some fish, especially big ones, you know. So it's my prayer, and some days the Lord grants that, and some days He doesn't. Maybe that's a selfish request, I don't know, but I also pray for our safety as we challenge the waters and so forth. But the Lord tells Peter, go to the sea, cast in your hook, and you will pull up a fish. There's a twofold message here, amen? I love God's Word because He's got messages all over the place in Scripture. And there's more messages in one verse than there are sometimes in many whole passages. But He says, take up the fish. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter when he was walking along the seashore? What He told Peter and John and the disciples that followed Him? Follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Amen. And Peter goes out and he casts the hook, and fish are a symbol of what? People. He's almost giving a guarantee, a promise that Peter, if he will do what God requires of him and does without question go out there, he will win souls for the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Friends, we have a guarantee that if we do what God asks us to do, if we go out and share the message, that each of one of us can be soul winners for Jesus, that we will catch fish for God, that we can bring men in. What a wonderful news, eh? Guarantee. It may be challenging at times, but friends, there's a guarantee that if we do what God requires of us, we can bring in fish for the Lord. Well, that's not the point of the message here today. The point is the point that Jesus is getting at. He says, take up the fish, the first that comes up. He says, when you have opened his mouth, you will find a piece of money or a piece of silver. And Peter goes out there, okay. Goes out to the sea, casts in his hook, and sure enough, the first fish that's on that hook pulls it up, opens its mouth, and there's a coin. Now, what a miracle! Right? What are the odds of that? Some naturalists today have tried to disprove this because there are some little fish out there. Not little ones. There are some fish out there kind of like our perch here. They actually have large mouths that they actually collect stones and gravel in their mouths. And what they do is they make volcano-shaped little nests. They settle eggs in. And then they go in there and they spawn in this little nest. And then they keep the eggs in their mouth. And sometimes they'll drop them out and so forth. And they go swimming about. And so they actually put things in their mouth. And they have actually pulled these fish up that have had bottle caps and all kinds of things in their mouths. And so they discredit this little fish, saying, well, come on, you know, they collect stuff all the time. But what's the probability of the hook, the first fish that comes up, having the coin that Jesus told about, you see? You see, Jesus was doing two things here. One was he was supplying the need for Peter, who made the stupid mistake of opening his mouth in the first place. And then he was paying the tax that wasn't required of him, proving that he was the Son of God. Because he just performed a miracle. Isn't that amazing? Peter, who puts his foot in the mouth, Jesus now uses his mistake to glorify the God of the universe. I love that about God, because He can take our mistakes to glorify Himself. Does that justify us to go out and raise Cain and do whatever we want because eventually God's going to be glorified in all my problems? No. You see? But he goes out there, he catches the fish, and when you have opened his mouth, you will find a piece of money, take and give to them for me and thee. I want you to realize something here today, that a temple tax was a half a shekel. A half a shekel. And many times it was made up of one coin, so when they gave the coin, they received something back, and many times the priest or the temple would actually receive a profit. But it was a half a shekel for every 20-year-old male and above who was free. In other words, wasn't slavery and all that stuff. He was asked to pay a temple tax, you see. Half a shekel. And the man who requested of Peter, sought Peter and said, "Does your master pay this temple tax? Don't you guys pay a half a shekel?" Peter says, "Of course we do." What's interesting, as you read through the commentaries, concordance, it'll tell you that this one coin equals exactly one complete shekel. Now what's so amazing about this is I love it because Jesus does something wonderfully fascinating here in revealing the cross of salvation for you and I. You see, there was a requirement that Peter got himself stuck into. Now the Lord has to pay the price. You see where I'm going with this? The Lord now has to pay the price. And he says, "Go, bring up a fish, and the coin that you have will be enough for me and you." Peter, the rest of the story is not told, but I'm assuming that Peter goes and drops that coin in for himself and for Jesus. And probably while he's there, the man that approached him in the first place said, "Don't you and your Lord pay tribute?" I'm sure Peter went up to him and said, "You know, I'm paying this coin, but I want to tell you where I got it. It's the most amazing thing." You see, when I went back, Jesus approached me and he said, "Peter, what do you think? Who do you think I am?" See, it wasn't long prior to this that Jesus talking with Peter and Peter talking to Jesus acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ. But see, Peter put Jesus in a predicament to challenge once again the authority and the validity that Jesus is the Son of God. Peter should have kept his mouth shut. And many times, Adventist Christians, sometimes the best thing to do is to keep our mouth shut so we don't offend other people. We need to be careful. That doesn't say that we don't stop preaching the message, but sometimes we need to be careful what we say because we bring sometimes an offense to God rather than glory. And when the coin comes out of his mouth, he goes up and he drops it. Before he drops, he says, "Look, I'm paying this tribute, but Jesus told me to go and get the fish out of the water, and this coin came out of the mouth of a fish just like Jesus predicted. Here's your temple tax. Have a nice day." What do you think the person's thinking in his head now? Wow, maybe he is the Son of God. Is this story real? Wow, is it, you know, confusion now. Jesus validates the necessity of the temple, but also he validates himself as the Son of God, that he is a prophet of all prophets, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Christ. Let's go back here to verse 26. After Jesus rebukes Peter in this subtle way, making him answer a question, he says, "Lord, of course the king takes tribute of strangers." Then Jesus said unto him, "Then are the children free." Exclamation, in other words, he makes a point to say, the children of the king are free. They don't need to pay tribute. They don't need to pay for themselves. The king has excluded his offspring from having to pay a tribute. What does that say for you and I today, friends? The message of hope for us today is that Jesus took that bitty coin and he gave a salvific message to the entire world. The mistake that Peter made, Jesus paid the price for. Amen? Jesus paid the price so that Peter could be free. Peter did not stick his hand into his pocket and pay tribute. But the Lord provided the money in which Peter could pay for himself and for the Lord. What does that say to us? If we, friends, are offspring of Jesus, the offspring of God, then we truly are free. What do you say? You see, Jesus, by paying for himself and paying for Peter, Jesus paid the requirements of the law of God. and Jesus gave himself so that humanity could be set free. What a message of hope for us today as Christians. In other words, I really firmly believe that as Jesus approached Peter, he said, the children are free. He was telling us, he was telling you and I, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we can boldly come to the cross of Calvary, we can boldly come to the throne of God, and we, without payment to God, without payment to the church, we can find forgiveness of sins and be cleansed and free and set free so that we don't have to pay an ounce of money for what we have done in our lives. In other words, we cannot earn our way to heaven. We can't earn our salvation. The only way by which we are saved are through the only blood merits of Jesus Christ himself. And he gives us eternal life. Jesus paid the price by giving his body as a requirement to the law. You see, this justifies once again the law, because we've had people say the law has been done away with. It's been nailed to the cross. Friends, if that was true and if that was certain, then Jesus would not have had to die on the cross in the first place. Why? Because God could have found a loophole and say, hey, you don't need to die. Let them suffer their own penalty. If they can be saved, then they can be saved by the penalty, by the law. We can alter it. We can change it so they can be saved. But the evidence here that Jesus died on the cross is true, that the law stands firm forever and throughout all eternity. And Jesus fulfilled the requirements of the law, but also he fulfilled the requirements for humanity by which they would have mediation. In other words, each and every one of you sitting in this congregation here today, Jesus paid the price so that you could be free. You see, there is no requirement for you other than to accept the free gift of salvation, that you may enter into the kingdom of eternity. There is no other requirement of you. You got to accept the gift, the sacrifice that Jesus made. You've got to accept the gift. That's the only requirement for eternal life. And friends, when we accept Jesus, everything else falls in line, doesn't it? Obedience, love, you know, all those things fall in place. The requirement of Jesus is that we accept the free gift. Well, Jesus paid the price for Peter, and he paid the price by giving himself, and God provided the sacrifice, didn't he? Now, you think about it. God must have planted that coin in that little fish's mouth. God provided the sacrifice. You remember what the Bible says from the foundations of the world? What? Christ was crucified. God provided the sacrifice so that everyone here on planet Earth can have and should have eternal life if they would accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. There was a little story that I was thinking about having read for children's story today, but I didn't want to interrupt and surprise anybody with anything, so I'll kind of tell it. There was a little fish that swam in the sea, that prayed daily, Lord, what would you have me to do? Never got the response, never got the answer. It grew up, it lived its fish's life, and one day the fish was with his friends, and he was praying to, you know, this is an allegory, obviously, right? No fish I've ever seen praying. The little fish is swimming in the sea, and praying to the Lord, and the other fish are wondering what he's doing, and he's in his circle of friends, and one day he hears the voice, God saying, little fish, I have something for you to do. What is that? The little fish says, I want you to swim down to where that old shipwreck was, and I want you to go back there where there's some coins buried in the ground and in the sand, and I want you to take one of those coins up in your mouth. The little fish says, okay, Lord. And the little fish is swimming away, and Lord, what do you want me to do with this coin? He says, don't you worry, I'll let you know at the right time. The little fish carries this coin in his mouth for a number of days. Friends wondering why he's got this coin in his mouth, what he's doing with this coin in his mouth, but the Lord said, put the coin in your mouth. One day the aunt said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord spoke to this little fish, and he says, "There's going to be a boat coming out on the water. I'm going to cast this hook in. I want you to take hold of that hook." "You got to be crazy. What are you asking me to do?" He says, "You need to be the first one on that little hook. But I want to tell you something, that person on the other end of the hook is going to take care of you just fine." "You mean he's going to eat me?" "No. He's going to throw you back in the water. You'll be just fine." So he sees the hook there with a nervous anticipation. All these other fish are swarming around it. He goes up there, latches on the hook. Sure enough, Peter pulls him out, takes the coin out, throws the fish back. And a little fish lives happily ever after. There's a part we need to play in this life, and that's obedience to our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. It's amazing how the fish of the sea obey, but many of us, "I'm going to live my life just as I please." It's amazing how the animals of the earth obey, but we say, "How I can save myself." What would be like that little fish and say, "Lord, where will you have me go? What will you have me do? What would you have me do next? Where would you have me go? What do you want me to do?" The answer may not be today. The answer may not be tomorrow, but God has a place for each of us. Amen. He has a place for each of us. And friends, the hope that you and I can have is that in our place, while we are doing the Lord's service, Jesus promises eternal life for you and for me. Jesus paid in full for Peter and for himself. Jesus paid in full for you and I. There's nothing we can do outside of the merits and the power of the blood of Jesus that we may have eternal life. Will you accept the free gift? Will you accept the payment that Jesus has paid on your behalf and receive Him today as Lord and Savior, that you too may reap the rewards and the benefits of eternal life? Not one thing in your life that Jesus cannot handle. Not one sin in your life that Jesus can't take care of. Jesus is there for you, even when you make mistakes. Let's stand together and sing our closing hymn today. Number 184, Jesus Paid It All.
Gracious Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us the great sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, to pay the price in full so that each of us can have freedom to enter into the kingdom of heaven through your blood and through your hope of salvation. Jesus, thank you for giving us your life, for paying in full, complete, even for the mistakes that I have made, the mistakes that we have made as individuals. Lord, you have paid the price for us ahead of time so that we can come boldly to your throne of grace and find forgiveness. Oh, Lord, I pray today that you will shower upon us your Spirit, that you'll walk up and down the midst of the aisle here today, and that you will touch our hearts, draw us into the relationship that you would have us to come into, but help us, Lord, to see our hope and salvation that is in you, that we can have the assurance today. Today, Lord, if there's any person in here that is struggling, I pray that you would reach down, touch their heart, give them assurance, give them confidence that you are their God that can save them and deliver them all from all fears. And today, Lord, help us to be faithful. As the fish of the sea obey you, Lord, if the dumb animals of the world can obey you, help us and with human minds of right mind obey you, Lord, and to serve you with the best of our ability, to give you our all so that you may be glorified in us. And thank you, Jesus, that you have given us the gift of salvation, the free gift to all who come to you. Now, Lord, bless each in this congregation. May we leave today with the assurance of your presence. And this I ask in Jesus' name, amen.